As I think about what I want to share with you, I thought about, I want you guys to know, above anything else that I share tonight, that God wants you to draw near to Him. Above all other things, that is primary. If you hear nothing else, if the sound goes off in the back and you can't hear anything else, you just see a mouth moving up here, remember, God wants you to draw near to Him. He just desires a relationship with you. But as God pursues us, we need to respond to Him. And tonight I thought I would share with you about how I've seen people respond to Him. And in some ways, it's more focused around how we've had the opportunity to respond to Him, whether it be a good response or what I would call a non-response to His calling. Because as God draws near to us, He brings up certain circumstances in our lives, certain things that just pull us towards Him. And we can choose to let those things pull us toward Him, or in some ways, those things can drive us from Him if we don't choose correctly. And when we choose not to respond to the Lord's pursuit, we begin to flounder in the Christian life. And why is it? I always kind of wonder, why is it some people move on in their walks with God? You always see them growing, they're always moving on. And other people kind of stagnate and then just kind of fade off. I thought about, why are some people sold out and why do other people sell out of the Christian life? And as I thought about the topic of floundering the Christian life, I wanted to think about stories about people that made decisions that way, either from the Bible or from some people I knew or I'd been in school with, and what held others back and what helped others to go on. But I thought I needed a framework for those stories to fit in, because a lot of times, it's just a bunch of stories. It's helpful for the audience to know where the guy's heading with the story he's telling, you know, the speaker. So I thought, well, maybe it'd be helpful if I came up with a framework. And a couple months ago, I was thinking about this same topic, and I was driving around. And on the dashboard of my car, when you put your car in park or reverse or neutral, there's this little light that goes to each one, you know. And it's kind of a helpful little thing if you don't know which gear your car's in, I guess. It says it there, and it also says down there, so it must be important. So I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting thing, that park, reverse, neutral, drive, and there's like my car's like a D3, a D4, and I don't know what those mean necessarily. But it's in the book that Linda talked about last week, if you're here at Vespers, and I'm going to get that book out sometime. But for our purposes, we're going to use this drive low and drive lower, I guess, drive one and drive two. And I'm going to use that as a framework for talking about how people move on in their walks with God or what holds people back. And you might ask, well, what does gears of a car have to do with Christian life? Nothing. Again, it's just a framework for the stories I'm trying to get across. What I want us to do is take each of the different options. You know, because every time you go to your car, you've got an option what you're going to do with your car. You can just sit in it, go out there, put the keys in the ignition, and just sit. That's in park, you know. Or you can choose to drive it one way or the other. So every time you go to your car, you've got to make a decision about what gear you're going to put it in. Okay? And then as you go down the road, you've got some more decisions to make. And so we're going to talk about how some of those things hold us back and some of those things help us to go on. And for our purposes in this illustration, we're going to view the first three as negative responses to God. Now, I know in your car, it's helpful to have park and reverse and neutral. Those are all useful things. But for our talk, or for our interaction here tonight, we're going to discuss those things as negative. And the first thing is, of course, the first choice you have is park. And when your car is in park, it's at a state of rest. And the transmission is such that the wheels won't move one way or the other, for the most part. And spiritually, the same is true. When a person's in park, it means they're in a state of non-movement, forwards or backwards. They're not going one way or the other. It's like they never really got going in the first place. And in order not to flounder in the Christian life, you've got to get out of park. And you might ask, what puts people in park? Well, I feel like it's when a person is faced with a tough decision and barriers to growth that come and confront them, or they're faced with those problems. And they put themselves in park spiritually because they don't face those things. We have an example of that from the Bible. I feel like I look at the Bible and try to find some examples of these people who made the right choices or wrong choices. And in the Bible, in Luke 18, we read about a man named, they call the rich young ruler. Some translations call him that. And basically, it was this guy, he came up to Jesus and asked, how can I have eternal life? Or how can I have a relationship with you, with God? And Jesus tells him, well, follow the commandments, do these things. He said, well, I've done all those things since I was young. And he said, well, then go sell all your property, all your riches, and give it to the poor, then come back to me. And it says that he was a man of great wealth, and he knew that was too much to ask, and so he went away sad. Well, it doesn't mean that verse isn't to be used to tell everyone, give all your money away to the poor and live poor the rest of your life. Jesus knew that in that person's life, a barrier to him fully being devoted to Christ was that he had riches. And they're being put in front of God. Okay? So that was too big a problem for that person to face, and so they didn't. And he went away sad. So think about your own life. What things stand in your way? What barriers are you facing? What decisions need to be made? If you don't deal with them or face them, you'll be put in park. Just like the rich young ruler never got going in his relationship with Christ because he put some other things above Christ. At one point in my life, I chose to have popularity over relationship with God. I had been a Christian for about 2 or 3 years, and I'd moved to a new place, and it was really a hard situation because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anyone was walking with God. And so I chose, after a period of time, said, well, I'm just tired of trying to walk with God when I don't know anyone else is. So I'm going to choose to have some friends that maybe don't do the same things I do, maybe my standards don't agree with. But I choose popularity, or at least knowing some people, over my relationship with God. And so I kind of put God up on the shelf for a while. And that basically put me in park for 2 years. Because I had chosen some other things in place of God. So that's fine, God, you want, you know, primary part of my life, but I feel like I'd like to have some friends. So those are some of the issues that come along that put us in park. And luckily, towards the end of that 2 years, God really began to break through that and said, look, here's what you're doing. You're putting these things, you're putting relationships above me. And it's kind of, I kind of woke up to that thought, man, I've been sitting here stagnant at a state of rest in my Christian walk, and I shouldn't have been. And so luckily, God broke through that. And if you're in an area you feel like right now you're kind of sitting in park, don't feel like it's over, because all you have to do is push that little button in and move it a little, and you'll get out of park. And pushing that button and moving just means turning towards God, saying, God, I was put in park. I put my life in park with you, and I want to grow. I want to move on. I don't want to be in park anymore. Here's the problems I'm facing. I need you to help me face those things. And if you don't get out of park, like I said before, in your Christian life, you will flounder. And for some, it's not easy to put yourself outside of park. It's not. It takes time and patience with you, yourself, and with God to know that you can trust Him and He'll take you through some of those things. So that's park. The next option you have is reverse. Putting in reverse occurs when a person loses sight of his relationship with God and they begin to entangle themselves in the world of sin. I thought about the Bible, who's the person that did that? Well, you find a lot, actually, people got entangled in sin. But one person that God had big plans for was Samson. And God warned him of a few things, said, beware of these things, don't mess around with this stuff. And slowly but surely, Samson began to mess around in some areas that God warned him about. And I found it interesting, my Bible gave a name to Samson. I don't know if it's the meaning of his name or something to think about his name, but his name means the weak, strong man. And you can read about him in Judges 13. But slowly over time, Samson lost sight of his relationship with God. And like I said, began to entangle himself in disobedience. And God warned him of his weaknesses, but Samson didn't listen. I had a friend in school. We were both sophomores, and we were on ministry team. And this guy could communicate the gospel like I have never seen anyone that could do it as well as him. He could start a conversation with someone he didn't know. Like he'd be in the cafeteria or something. He'd start a conversation, and in 15 minutes, him and this girl were great friends. And pretty soon, he had communicated God's message to them, not just blurting out some words, but to a point where they really understood what God's message was of redemption and how they could be saved. But he began to slowly make some poor decisions, and his focus slowly began to move off of God and onto other distractions. And he began to let his standards down in several areas. And I still remember this one time. It was like in November, December. And we had ministry team that night. And it was like, ministry team used to meet on Friday nights at 6:30 at the BSU. Everyone on ministry team came here. And we were going to the cafeteria together. It was like 6:15. You know, it was like, we got to hurry. Like, I'm sure some of you guys had been there. And I said, how are you going to ministry team tonight? And he said, nah, I think I'm just not going to go tonight. I'm kind of tired of that. And that was a pivotal point, I think. Not just missing meetings wasn't the big deal. It was a picture of what was going to happen with his life, because after that point, he wavered a little bit more, and pretty soon, before the end of that year, before May of our sophomore year, he was basically gone. I never saw him again. Occasionally, I'd run into him. And now, I don't even know where he is now. And basically, he began to entangle himself in the areas that he knew were weaknesses. God had showed him, these are areas of weaknesses. He had some people early in his Christian life that knew, kept him accountable, that said, watch out for this area, watch out for this area, watch out for this area. And slowly but surely, he just began to get entangled in those areas, less and less accountability over a period of time, and pretty soon he was just wiped out. And here was a person that God really used, and then he made some choices on his own when he was faced with some different things, to not be careful with his weaknesses. So people who put themselves in reverse usually are just not careful in the area of weaknesses that they have. Samson wasn't careful. God warned him of those things, and he didn't listen. And my friend did not want to be careful with the areas of his weakness. If you let areas of weakness go unchecked, it'll slowly pull you away and entangle you in those areas, and it gets stronger and stronger. You know when you're driving down the street, if you're driving down Main Street and you throw it in reverse, it doesn't happen. I mean, your car transmission basically just falls out underneath your car, right? The transfer to reverse in a Christian life is not an instant. It's a long process, usually drawn out over some time, where little things begin to become decisions that you don't make. You're faced with this decision, I could go out with these people that I shouldn't and drink with them and get drunk, whatever, or I could not do that. Well, just this one time. What's it hurt? Besides, I'll go and I'll be able to witness to them. Maybe not. Maybe. Just little things like that become issues. And pretty soon, it's a slow process that takes time. So, you have to be careful in your weaknesses. So think through, what are my weaknesses? What are areas of sin that I struggle with? And then find some friends and ask, can you help me be accountable to these to you? Because if I don't watch these things, I'm going to be going the wrong direction, my walk with God. And I don't want that to happen. And realize how you can get off track and plan accordingly. When we have weaknesses, God wants to use those to draw us to Him. And we need to look to Him. We need to look at those weaknesses as opportunities for God to care for us and to help us to grow and to work on our lives. So that's reverse. Be very wary of reverse. It could be a big problem. The next one, of course, is neutral. That's what that N stands for on your car, if you weren't sure. You know, the only time I use neutral in my car, for some reason, on some mornings, my car, I start driving down the street, and I get to a corner and stop, and it just dies. You know, maybe some mechanic in here can tell me why. Anyway, I think it has to do with the fuel line. Anyway, I'm not a mechanic. And it just dies right there. So I throw it into neutral, and start it up again, and put it back in drive, and go. Well, what happens in neutral, when you go in neutral spiritually, is that something comes up. Some problem arises, some barrier comes up, some problem you're dealing with, a crisis, or a decision you need to make, and it's something that's difficult, and you make a wrong decision, and before you know it, you're sitting in the middle of traffic, just sitting there in neutral. And then pretty soon, you feel pretty comfortable there in neutral, and you never switch it back to drive to start it up again and go. And that's what happens when you get put in neutral in your spiritual life is when you're confronted with a problem or a crisis or decision and you choose not to make those decisions. It's similar to being in park, but it's a little different, and we'll talk about why. When I think of someone in the Bible that started out really great, was moving along, that's the difference between park and neutral, is that someone's moving along, then shifts to neutral. I thought of Saul. Saul was chosen as Israel's first king, and he had a great responsibility, and in 1 Samuel 13, we find out that he blew that responsibility. What happened was, they're about to go into battle, and he kept waiting for the holy man, Samuel, to come along and bless the nation, bless the army, make sacrifices. You can read all about it in 1 Samuel 13. And he can't wait any longer. It's been 7 days. He gets scared the Philistines are going to beat him up and take him away. So he goes ahead and puts on all the garments that normally Samuel would wear and sacrifice his animals. And God says that one act put his life in neutral. And God could no longer use him. And basically, the biggest problem when going into neutral, the biggest thing that causes people to go into neutral is impatience and unteachableness. In order to grow in your Christian life, you must be humble and teachable. And Saul started out that way. If you read the first things about Saul, he was very humble. He gave a lot of glory to God for what God was doing in his life. But he began to change, and he became neutralized. You know, as many of you know who are freshmen out there, I work with the freshmen. And many of you who are upperclassmen know that too. And it seems like every year, one of the biggest hindrances in the Christian life for freshmen is unteachableness. They want immediate leadership, and they want to come in and say, you know, I'm ready to lead, I'm ready to help you out. We've heard a testimony from certain people about how they came, and we're going to be a great asset to the BSU, some things like that. And the interesting thing is that people like that, they come from a youth group where they really learned a lot. And they come and say, well, I've heard everything they talk about at FMT. I'm not really interested, you know. Or they refuse to put themselves under someone's accountability, and they refuse to be teachable, thinking they have everything down. And the funny thing is, I remember this one girl, she came and she would begin to tell us the things that she was going to do. She was going to go overseas on a mission trip that summer. She was going to start leading some small groups and a Bible study, and it was like the first week of school, and second week of school, and I was like, well, that's good, you know, we'll pray about that. Thanks for your excitement. The problem is not that people want leadership. That's not the problem. The problem is that people want leadership without gaining responsibility and trust. And they refuse to be teachable underneath some people for a time. And that's really the key to leadership. The worst thing that can happen to a young Christian is give them some leadership. Because pretty soon, that's the all-encompassing thing that there is very important, and they forget about walking with God. Because they're so busy helping some people. And they don't bother getting a foundation down with some different things. So, it's hard to... it's not funny at all. It's kind of tragic, actually. The two girls I can think of over the past 2 years that really wanted to really gain some leadership are nowhere to be found right now, I think, in their Christian life. I've seen them on campus. And every time I see them and talk to them, it's just tragic for me to talk to them. Because they were the people that were so on fire and wanted some stuff, but refused to be teachable and refused to come underneath some people's teaching and humble themselves and say, maybe I don't have it all down. And right now, it's just tragic to see their lives. These people who had wanted to do so much, now they're doing nothing. And if you're not careful in the area of teachableness, it'll shift you to neutral faster than you ever know. The interesting thing about neutral is that the car's wheels still move. And so a person who's in neutral, you can tell because they're moved by circumstances. In other words, when a car is sitting on a hill this way, it rolls back that way. This way, it goes that way. So there's periods of growth and non-growth, periods of growth and backing up. That's neutral. You know, they're just sitting wherever circumstances take them. Oh, no, they got a big test, so everything becomes that test. Oh, no, I got boyfriend troubles. Now I got to go to boyfriend troubles. Now I got this. And there's no order to their life. God is not in control of their life. They're not coming to God to say, hey, I need some help with these relationships. I need help with my tests. I need help with this or that. They don't go to other people and say, I need help. They try to do it all on their own, and basically they get tossed about by whatever the circumstances bring. The next three, so that's neutral. The next three we're going to talk about, for our purposes in this illustration, are choices that people can make that are positive. The first one is that D, which stands for drive. And drive is when the transmission is engaged and moving ahead and nothing's holding back. And the same is true spiritually. It means that when the gas pedal's pushed, the car's going to move along. And so when God begins to move in your life and move in your heart, it's going to be in a position to move along. And I thought of a person, you know, who is the person that was in drive in the Bible? And I thought of Enoch. And you can read about him in Genesis 5. You're kind of like, who's Enoch? Well, very little is written about him, but in Hebrews 11:5, we read that he was a man who pleased God. And because of that, because of his faith, he was taken straight to heaven without facing death. And so a person who's in drive is living their life in such a way that is pleasing to God. And drive doesn't mean that life isn't hard. You know, when you're driving along, there are different obstacles that come up. And you've got to figure out how to put the brakes on and go around obstacles. You've got to, you know, figure out, stay between those lines, kind of important on the road when you're driving along. So it doesn't mean that there aren't problems that come up, big curves that come up, big just problems. It just means that a person who has it in drive looks to God and says, I know that you're in control, and they keep their focus on God. We're going to go through these three pretty brief, but drive one, the next gear down, is when you get to some big hill sometimes, you know, like you're driving to the Arbuckles, and you're driving along, and you've got an overdrive there, you know, you're going along at 65, and you hit those hills, pretty soon your car starts to slow down, because of the hill. Well, then your car, because mine's automatic, it shifts down to a lower gear, or I could choose to shift it to a lower gear, so that I'll get some more power in the wheels. The same thing's true of life sometimes. We run into some trouble, something's facing us, and our car begins to kind of lose some power. So what you do is you downshift to a lower gear. And I thought about, who's a person in the Bible that did that? Who's a person that shifted down because they were facing some trouble? And I thought of John Mark in the New Testament. He was a person that Paul said abandoned them and went back to Jerusalem. And I kind of feel like what John Mark was doing was he hit some pretty tough territory that he wasn't ready for. He's probably a little gung-ho. I'm ready to go take on the world for Christ. And he got out there and thought, I am way over my head. And so he left and went back to Jerusalem, and Paul says he abandoned us. But I think what was happening was that he said, I'm in trouble, and if I don't get help, I'm going to crash and burn. I'm not going to be around. So instead of just shifting to reverse or neutral or putting in park, he shifted down and went back. And Bible history tells us, that he spent a lot of time with Peter. And as a result of that time with Peter, he wrote the Gospel of Mark, and to really tell the Christian world about who Jesus was. And he wrote that during a time of great... people really had a bad view of Christians. Nero had blamed the burning down of Rome on the Christians. And so people throughout the world thought Christians were just awful people. And John Mark had the opportunity to tell people of Christ's life based upon what Peter had told him. And later on, we read that he had rejoined Paul. And Paul said that he had been a faithful servant. And so the thing about downshifting is you're faced with some trouble or a big hill that looks too hard to climb. And a person would downshift and then move through that problem and work on that problem and then shift it back to drive once it's over. And I've seen students, when faced with barriers or concerns, just tube, they throw it in park, they throw it in neutral, throw it in reverse, and never get back to drive. They just keep just pressing on ahead because they don't want to get left behind. Well, all my friends are doing that. That's what I need to do because my friends are doing that. And they're not willing to say, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to move in... to lead a Bible study right now. I'm not ready to lead a group of people. I could probably assist, maybe. I just feel like I need some more foundation help, or here's a problem I'm trying to deal with. And some people just aren't willing to do that. But I know some people, I've seen students here, even in this room, that when they're faced with a problem, they see the problem, and they're willing to downshift until that problem is resolved. But it doesn't shipwreck them, because they know that God is in control of the situation. They don't throw it in park or reverse or neutral because they know that God's going to take care of them. And they can still minister to people even through the problem. And that's the amazing thing you see a lot, that people who go through problems and allow God to deal with those things, they have a tremendous ministry with people who have gone through some of those same problems. So don't be afraid to pull back a little. Don't be afraid to work on a problem or a barrier. And don't be afraid to downshift because it could save your walk with God. The next one is drive two. And, you know, the problem with drive one was the car had lost some power, and so we needed to work on that. With drive two, mostly it's that the road conditions become a little more hazardous. Like, it's icy out, it's wet, and so your wheels, you know how you're on ice sometimes, your wheels spin too fast? Well, if you'll shift lower, they'll spin slower, okay, and give you more traction. The same is true with the spiritual life or a Christian life. Sometimes we get into some problems, or the people we're trying to minister to are really just having some major problems and we don't know how to help them. And many times we're faced with hard decisions and we begin to wonder, is this really worth going through? You know, is leading this Bible study really worth going through? Is trying to help these people live on my floor really worth it? It's taken all my time, all my energy, and I just feel like God's not doing a thing. Is it really worth it? And I thought about a person in the Bible, like I've been doing, is the person in the Bible I thought of that really had some problems that they had to really deal with was Esther. You can read about her in the book of Esther. And it's a really neat story. Basically what's going to happen was she was queen, and this guy who worked for the king was going to have all the Jews killed. Well, the king didn't know she was Jewish, but her uncle came and said, hey, he's going to kill the Jews. You got to do something about it. But if she went to the king and told him without being invited to go talk to the king, she could be killed. So she had a choice to make. Either my life could be saved, and I don't have to worry about anybody else, or I could save the Hebrew people, and my life may be taken because I try to save them. This is similar to what I've seen people face in the BSU. Okay, I could choose to get involved with people that have problems, that will give me problems, and just some hard times, or I could just choose not to get involved with people. And what happened with her is that it worked out. She went to talk to the king. The king listened to her, didn't kill her, and the whole nation was saved. But she really went through a time of saying, God, what are you trying to do? I just know that she had to think through that and pray. Say, why me? And a lot of you are in the same position. Why did God choose me to do this? Why am I the person that's knocking on all these doors and no one's responding? Why am I dealing with this person that's got some problems that I don't know how to help? I'm helpless. And those people that I've seen, have been close to, that have gone through some of those questions, chose to say, there's some icy roads. I need to downshift so I don't spin my wheels too hard. I need to get over this problem safely. And as they worked through that problem, God was faithful to show them and show them His faithfulness and really begin to work through that situation. And God really used it to help them to grow. And I'm not saying that those situations are all over, you know, that everyone here in this room is having a great time ministering to people. Ministry to people is a hard situation. It's a hard time. But people who are willing to go through some of the questions, is it really worth this? Is the cost of this really worth it? I think that as they go through those questions, it'll really help them. So don't be afraid to ask questions to God. Why are you doing what you're doing? I don't understand. He wants you to be honest with Him. If you're not, if you don't choose to put down shift low on icy ground, very often you'll slide right off the road. And your focus gets to be on the problems and all those things. And pretty soon, you're off the side of the road in a ditch. And that can happen. And it was just really neat to see this year some people go through some things and share out of that with me. And just how they were going through some of that stuff. And so that's the second drive. And like I said at the beginning, you know, God wants you to draw near to Him. And you have the opportunity to respond to Him. And you have those choices. There are probably a lot of other choices, but for tonight, for those things, those are the choices that I wanted to feel like I needed to cover with you guys. And the thing is, don't use it as a scale. Don't go out your car and say, well, where am I at? I'm in drive. I'm pretty cool. You see those guys with their hand up there? You know, I'm in drive. They're cruising along, doing pretty well. Well, don't use it as a scale to judge your life on a whole basis. Because, you know, when you go up to your car, like I said earlier, you go out to your car, you make a choice every day what gear to put that in. Every day it's a choice. The same way is true in your relationship with God. Every day you've got a choice to make. God, there's some icy roads. Am I going to downshift? Or am I just going to plow through it and just not worry about it and let it be a problem later? God, there's a big hill. I need to downshift. I don't know if I want to. My other friends aren't downshifting. They're on the other side of the hill already. You know, every day you've got to make a decision. What am I going to do? Don't be afraid to downshift if you come up from problems. Don't be afraid to put it in drive and trust God. Hey, you know, trusting you to drive this thing. It's His power that's moving the car. So as you come out, like I said, as you come out to your car every day, it's a decision. It's a decision the same way. If you just sit in your car and park, you'll flounder the Christian life. If you shift to reverse, you'll flounder again. Neutral, the same. But if you choose to put it in drive, God can really have an opportunity to work in your life. And basically putting it in drive doesn't mean that you're doing any work. It means you're opening and responding to Him and what He wants to do in your life. And if I could say anything just in closing, it's been a privilege to be around students that are even in this room, and some may not be here tonight. Some that are out there that graduated with me, that are out working, trying to figure out life 4 years after college. It's been a privilege to work with the freshmen this year, the freshmen last year. and to see that there are students making decisions to respond to God. You know how encouraging it is to hear reports of those who have gone on to make decisions and respond to God, even though it's very hard and very difficult, even though their situation is impossible from the outside when you look at it. It's very encouraging to see that students here want to make decisions to respond to God. So when you choose to make decisions in response to God, look for some other people and say, I know you're trying to make some decisions. Let's help each other out. You know, and build on what, I guess it was Mike Thompson who spoke last week and talked about the body, that we really need each other. And don't be afraid to ask someone else for a push when your car is stuck in the middle of the road. Don't be afraid to ask. So, I guess that's all I have to share. And just thanks for the opportunity.